is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Sign up now for their virtual camp 2.0 featuring 10 days of workouts with pro trainers from the Dr. Dish family. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Pat Baldwin, head men's basketball coach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Lensing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. We are going to do our Western Conference NBA preview tonight, but there is a little bit of news around two interesting situations that have been brewing in the league for a while.
Interesting situations is one way to put it.
Interesting situations. Two guys who, man, I don't know what to make of either of these ones. Which one do you want to tackle first?
Well, let's just get Kyrie out of the way here. Listen, Kyrie, my man. So, like 2 days ago, they came out and said that the Nets were prepared to participate in things at home without him, and then something happened. I don't know what happened. It's almost like they found a bunch of emails and then the guy decided he was going to resign. Oh, wait, that's a different sport. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring John Gruden into this, Mike. Apologize. Anyways, Kyrie, the Nets have decided he is not going to be participating until he's fully vaccinated. Now, I don't know if you saw the Shams report that Kyrie's not worried about the needle as much as he's concerned that so many people are losing their job because of vaccine mandates, quote unquote. This is what Shams tweeted tonight. Does Shams believe anything that he's tweeting?
Or I have no idea. Look, I have no idea what this is all about. Kyrie, I said it last week. He's a weird, weird dude. And I don't know. The vaccine mandate. Look, everybody had to get vaccinated to go to school. I think Lillard said it best, whatever, about 10 days ago when he's like, look, I got all these other vaccines. I didn't know what was in them. I didn't question it. I'm trusting that there are medical professionals out there that know what they're talking about. And when it comes to this Kyrie situation, I guess for me it comes down to, were the Nets going to have the balls to be able to just tell him, hey, man, goodbye. If you're not going to play, we're not going to have you playing just in away games. We're not going to have you not being able to practice. I know I read the article tonight that they have a stretch here, I think in maybe in either October or November, where they're only going to play. They only play home games for like 13 days. So they'd be in New York. So basically he'd be away from the team for 13 days. And then you try to bring him back and have him play away. I mean, it would have been ridiculous. It would have been completely and utterly ridiculous to have him just playing away games. So kudos to the Nets for telling him, look, either step up to the plate and get vaccinated or you're just not going to play. And it's interesting that he's losing money for the away games, or I'm sorry, for the home games that he's not going to play because he's chosen not to get vaccinated. But they're not fining him for missing practice. They're not docking him his salary for the away game. So he's not technically suspended, but they basically told him to stay away. And I guess for me, it comes down to, and I'm curious to hear your opinion, does he ever play for the Brooklyn Nets again?
I think he will. It'll happen.
You do?
Yeah, because
I don't.
Who's going to trade for him right now?
Does he play another game in the league?
Oh, he plays another game in the league.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
He's a weird dude, man.
I'm positive he will play another league game in the NBA.
His contract situation, though, he has a clause where he can become an unrestricted free agent, I believe, after next season. So if you trade for him this year, you're getting some version of a guy who may or may not be available to play based on protocols. Then you're only going to have him for 1 year, and then he's going to go somewhere else. Would anybody be willing? I mean, Brooklyn's not going to offer him an extension, right?
Unless he gets vaccinated.
Even then, do you really trust this guy? Do you really want him to be a part of the core of what you're trying to build for the long term? Based on this and based on his past history, based on his injuries, would you be willing to sign him to a max contract? I wouldn't at this point.
Well, you wouldn't, but someone will be. Someone will be, Mike. Someone will be willing to pay. No, someone will be willing to pay. Someone will be willing to pay.
Mike,
you keep saying that. I'm telling you, someone – listen, you're telling me there's not a team that would pay for him? Not any of the 30 teams in the league would pay. Yes, there's a team in the league. Look at with the Thunder,
I guess,
with the Rockets,
I guess,
with
I guess,
come on, there's that, someone.
There's but those teams, look, is Kyrie driving winning for your team as their best player?
We just gave Jared Allen a max contract, Mike.
I'm just asking you, has Kyrie ever been the driver as the number one?
As Jared Allen.
No, I wouldn't have given Jared Allen a max contract either. Listen. By the way, I did go to the Cavs preseason game the other night.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
It was pretty good, actually. Jared Allen, his arms are so long, it's incredible. I mean, he barely looks human. I mean, his arms are super long. And I'm totally in on Mobley.
Yeah?
Totally in on Mobley. He's going to be really good.
Right?
Great passer, good defense, still has to get stronger. He's got to have a little bit more, I don't know. He's not that smooth yet offensively in the post, but there's instincts of things that he can do. He plays hard. He's a good rebounder. Defensively, he's in the right places. He can block shots without fouling. He's the real thing. He's going to be really good. I don't know how great he's going to be this year. I think he's going to be good, but I think long term, I think he's going to be a real player. And then Markkanen, I watched him for, I don't know, at first I was like, ooh, I'm totally out on Markkanen. And then as the game wore on, I looked up and he had like 24 points and he had made some threes.
He had that ridiculous dunk he made. Did he have the dunk? Were you at the game he had the really good dunk or no?
I was at the Bulls game. So when I was there, he had two like weird dunk attempts where he got jumped from too far out and then got pushed and tried to throw the ball down into the basket, but he was like a foot away from actually being able to dunk it. And I think he did it twice, once on an alley-oop and once on a drive. But anyway, so I'm not sure. Like looking at Markkanen, I don't like the way he moves completely, but I think that he has some skills and who knows. And Mobley's going to be good. Anyway, my point is, going back to Kyrie, I wouldn't sign him. You're probably right. There's a team out there that will convince themselves that they can get him turned around or they can get him on board with what they're trying to do. But if he can't get it together to play with Harden and Durant in a place that he wanted to go, what makes anyone think that he's going to go somewhere else and be a stable member of your franchise? And look, I get it. Does Kyrie sell tickets? I don't know. Maybe. If you're in a woebegone franchise that hasn't had a star in a long time, maybe he does. But we haven't seen him in Cleveland drive winning without LeBron. And I've said it all along. He was the perfect second banana to LeBron. He was perfect in that role. but I do not want him leading my franchise. I just don't. And so I don't know. He's a weird guy. If you told me he never played another game in the NBA, I wouldn't be completely surprised.
Okay. That's fair.
He's not playing for Brooklyn this year. He's not going to, play a game this year. There's no way.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't play a game this year.
I mean, when it gets to this point already where the team has to make a statement, because it's not like they're not in communication with him.
Yeah.
So they had to have, they have to have found something out in the last couple of days where they're like, this guy is drawing a line in the sand and he's not going to get vaccinated and therefore he's not going to play. And I don't see him suiting up for Brooklyn. And how that impacts Brooklyn long term, I mean, it hurts them. But if Harden and Durant are healthy, I don't think it hurts them that much. It still speaks to, I guess maybe from my perspective, I mean, I've always said that what holds Brooklyn back to me is just the weird personalities and the potential for discord between those three guys. So I guess you're removing one piece of that potential problem and one piece of that puzzle that might not fit together that smoothly. So maybe Durant and Harden are able to figure it out with the guys that they were able to bring in and their bench. We talked about it last week. If they stay healthy, they've got a nice mix of guys that they can put in around Durant and Harden. I'm still dubious. I still don't think that if James Harden is one of your main guys, I just don't think you're winning a championship. But maybe Kyrie's departure is addition by subtraction in some way.
Okay. I mean, that's legitimate thought. All right, let's talk about the other weirdo, Ben Simmons.
Doesn't he look worse today? I mean, doesn't he look like a complete – I mean, he already looked like a fool, but doesn't he look like even more of a fool at this point?
Yeah, like I reported to camp. I got my test. Is he going to play a game? He's got to play a game for the Sixers, right?
I think. Is he going to tank? I mean, is he going to pull a Harden? Is he going to go out and play hard? Is he going to try to rehabilitate his value?
Is he going to show up in a fat suit?
Is he going to start shooting jumpers? Is he going to attack the rim and shoot 24% from the line? I have no idea what to expect.
My favorite,
I just know
my
when favorite you dig, tweet. When you dig in and you're like, I'm not coming back. I've played my last game in Philly. You'll never see me in this uniform again. And then training camp's been going for like 10 days and the season hasn't even started and you're already in there. It's not a good look for Ben Simmons.
Yeah, so my favorite tweet of the day in regards to the Ben Simmons, I'm going to play a clip for you, Mike. You watch Seinfeld, right?
I do.
I'll see if you recognize the clip. Hold on. Oh, come on.
How you doing?
What are you doing here?
What? I work here.
I thought you quit.
What quit? Who quit? Bill, how was your weekend?
Oh, excellent weekend. What about your weekend?
Fine weekend.
Yeah, good weekend.
That's he quit his job. What's his name? Quit his job.
George, come on,
yeah,
man.
George quit his job and then he showed back up to work after quitting because he realized he needed his job back. So that's a good one. I like that one. It was tweeted by a guy I've never heard of before, Anthony Puccio. He's a national sports and NBA writer for Sports Section. It's Front Office Sports is the Twitter. But anyways, I saw it and I thought it was pretty funny. So
I don't know what to make of this. I mean, I don't know if he's going to come out and play hard and try to rehabilitate his value. I don't know if he's going to come out and he's going to tank. I don't know if he's just reporting so he can collect his money. I don't know if the Sixers are telling him, you're never going to suit up for us and you're not going to play. I have no idea whatsoever what it's going to look like. I have none. So yeah. My gut tells me that he's probably going to suit up and play. I think it benefits everybody all the way around. I mean, I think it benefits Simmons for him to be able to get back out on the floor and leave people with a different taste in their mouth than what he left them in the last playoff series against the Hawks. I think it helps Philly in that if he's really going to play hard and try to rehabilitate his value so he can get traded, then having a Ben Simmons on the floor who's trying is better than having no Ben Simmons on the floor. And it also helps Philly in that maybe they can get a better return if Simmons comes out and looks good and is doing some things that make you think that he's gotten over whatever problems he was having in the last postseason, whether that was mental, whether it was physical, whether it's who knows what it is. But I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to expect. I kind of think that he's going to play. At what point? I don't know. How well he's going to play? I don't know. But if you're the rest of his teammates, that can't be a comfortable practice environment to walk into with all the things that have been said and kind of gone back and forth. And it seems like a goofy situation that I wouldn't want to be a part of. And I think it just, again, presses the button for Philly to get him traded. And even if you got to trade him for 50 cents on the dollar, I'm not sure that it's not the right move.
Yeah, listen. Him, Embiid, and Andre Drummond is going to be comical to just even see them interact. So I'm ready.
Where do you go with Simmons? Like, real quick before we jump into the Western Conference, what's honestly in your mind, like, what's his value? Like, what level of player would you be willing to trade from your team to get that Simmons?
I've covered what I would be willing to give up. I probably would give up if to make, because you have to make the money work. So that's the main problem, that you have to make the money work. So, like, if I'm the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'm willing to give up Sexton and Love and, like, a second-round pick.
Right. So you're not getting an all-NBA-level player back for Ben Simmons in your estimation, correct?
Well, no, you
got to
make the money work. I mean, there might be another team. Like, Philly
but
said,
I'm just saying,
Philly
in, said, in general.
Philly and Brooklyn both said today they have no interest in the Kyrie for Ben Simmons swap. So if that means if Philly's not willing to trade for Kyrie Irving, which, I mean, Kyrie Irving's a weird dude, so maybe that's why they don't want to trade for him. But, like, I don't know what team. Like, I think if the Blazers are willing to trade Dame Lillard, which I don't think they are, then maybe the Sixers would listen to that. But
right, but would Portland listen to that? If
no,
you're Portland,
no, no,
would
I'm
you...
telling you, I'm telling you, he needs to. They need to. The Sixers are gonna if he comes in and he plays a decent level, the Sixers could get a.
Can they get an all NBA level player for him?
Maybe a third teamer.
See, I don't know. I don't think they can get that
maybe.
Level of player. I don't think so. I think what you propose with the Cavs, where you're getting a guy who maybe it's a young player who's on the rise, who's in a similar age bracket, but isn't as accomplished as Simmons. I'd be really, really nervous. Like I've said before,
I have a question.
About trading for him.
Okay. There's a quantifiable thing. Like when we talk about all NBA players, there's different situations. Like Vucevic was an all NBA player. If I'm the Chicago Bulls and I could trade Vucevic for Simmons, like that he's an all NBA type player, right? Vucevic?
Yeah. He has at least one all NBA. Maybe he has two.
So, I mean, not that the Sixers would listen to that because I don't think that would work with Embiid, but I'm just saying, I think there's
there might be a fringe all NBA player that they could get. I would just be very leery of trading for Ben Simmons because I think his issues are mental, not physical. And those things are a lot harder to overcome and they tend to linger a lot more. An injury you can get over, the yips or whatever is going on with Simmons at the free throw line, that takes a lot more work to get past.
Okay. All right.
All right. Western Conference. Let's
Western
move on.
Conference. So we're going to do the Western Conference. We're going to start in the same way we did last time. Mike, sound good?
Yeah, let's start at the bottom.
Start at the bottom. And then Mike and I talked a little bit before the podcast, and I've split them into three tiers because I don't quite know what to make of the West. So I have three tiers. I have the trash tier. These teams are what I classify as trash. And there might be one team that could fall into that trash tier that I don't, that I have in the next tier, which is the play-in contenders, like people that are probably going to be in the play-in game or close to the play-in game. And then I have what I deem as, in my opinion, the six best teams in the Western Conference who I think are going to be the best six. So those are my three tiers. And I know Mike has five tiers. Do you want to share what your five tiers are, Mark?
Sure, I have five tiers. So starting from the bottom, I have my trash tier. Then I have my prove it to me that you can make it to the play-in tier. Then I have solidly should be competing for the play-in. Then I have four teams that are would-be pretender contenders, and then I have four teams I think that are legitimate contenders to make it to the NBA Finals. So those are my five tiers.
Okay. So we'll start with the trash tier.
How many? I have two.
I have four.
Wow.
Four teams are trash.
Okay. All right. Well, can I go with the two that I'm pretty sure are there that are mine? Sure. I'm sure yours. So the Rockets and the Thunder.
Sweet. Okay. So who you have 15?
I have the Thunder as 15.
I have Thunder as 15. I have Rockets as 14. I don't know how much we want to spend on these two teams, but they're garbage. Like, I honestly think the Cavs are going to blow these teams out, Mike. Like when you look at the Houston Rockets roster, and the best two players are John Wall, who hasn't had a great, like,
John Wall's not even going to play this year.
Well, that's also true. I forgot about that.
I mean, he's not going to get. I mean, they've already basically told him you're not going to see the floor. They want the ball in Jalen Green's hands. They want the ball in Kevin Porter Jr.'s hands.
Well, that's what I was saying. Kevin Porter Jr. is like the best active player on your team. That's a problem. He's going to throw soup on someone or something. You got to watch out.
I think it's interesting because if you look at these two teams, they both are in the rebuilding phase. So neither one of these teams is actively trying to win. I think they both would be very, very happy finishing at the back end of the league. They both have – well, I shouldn't say that. The Thunder have a proven NBA borderline all-star in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Rockets, I guess you could say Christian Wood is their borderline all-star. And then obviously they have Jalen Green, who they just drafted, who most people think is going to put up big numbers this year in a losing effort. And then you have, as we just talked about, Kevin Porter Jr., who we know from him being here in Cleveland that he's a talented player. Whether or not he can ever get himself together off the court and mentally in order for him to fulfill that potential, I'm not 100% convinced that that's the case. But if he's out on the floor and he's playing, he's a talented player. But both of these teams are not trying to win in terms of the way they've put together their rosters. They both are actively going to be working their way towards the bottom of the standings so that they can get another set of high draft picks. And they are years away from contending. The question will be by the time they're good, do either one of these teams, is anybody that's on the teams now part of what they end up building when they're actually ready to win games in the NBA? And I couldn't tell you that. I don't know the answer to that. So they have some interesting players. I think Houston with Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. should be fun. I think Jalen Green's going to put up a lot of shots, and he's probably going to be the leading scorer among the rookies, I would have to guess, based on just his situation and the fact that he's going to get a lot of touches. So I think the nice thing is that with this team, with both of these teams, with Oklahoma City and Houston, and you can also equate this to the bottom tier that we talked about in the East last week with the Cavs, Pistons, Magic, Hornets, Raptors, whatever, however you want to phrase it, there's very few teams that are just in complete disarray that don't have at least a plan or don't have some interesting young players to watch. So I think from that standpoint, all is not lost, even though your team, if you're in Houston or Oklahoma City, your team might not win 22 games this year. But at the same time, there's going to be things that are going to be interesting for you to watch. So I guess that's what I'd hang my hat on if I was an Oklahoma City Thunder fan or a Houston Rockets. They got a lot of picks. Oklahoma City especially. Houston has some, but their picks aren't quite as good as what Oklahoma City has. Yep. So we'll see what happens. But those two teams I clearly have in the bottom.
All right, number 13. I have the Sacramento Kings.
I have the Sacramento Kings also at number 13.
Oh, my God, Mike, this is not right. This is not right that we are.
But I don't have them. But I don't have them as. I don't have them as.
I have them for trash for one reason. Well, two reasons. Marvin Bagley can't stay healthy. And Luke Walton is their coach. I don't trust Luke Walton.
Both fair points. I think you have to believe that the ship has sailed on Marvin Bagley ever becoming. Certainly, he's never going to live up to his draft billing. Is he ever going to become even a serviceable NBA player that teams would want as a role player. It doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. So when you pass on Luka to take Marvin Bagley Jr., or Marvin Bagley III, sorry, it's not a good sign. Not a good sign. I think the thing with Sacramento, the reason why I didn't have them at the very bottom, I think De'Aaron Fox is a good player. I think Halliburton's a good player. I think that Buddy Hield's a good player. I think Davion Mitchell, who they drafted out of Baylor this year, is a good player. So they have the makings of something. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I do think that there's a path for them to make it into the play-in if they play well. And maybe they start out poorly and maybe Luke Walton gets fired, but they bring in a new coach. Who knows? But I don't think this team is nearly as bad. They have a lot more quality NBA players than both the Rockets and the Thunder. So that's why I had them not in that tier, but in the potentially could fight for a play-in spot if things go right tier.
I think a lot of things have to go right for them to be fighting their play-in game, honestly, Mike. I just don't see it. Because, listen, as good as Fox is, he hasn't proven that he can stay healthy for a full season either. And
if they haven't won. I mean, the thing is that you now have a culture there where they haven't won, haven't been to the playoffs in 20 years. And that wears at you. That eats at you. And as an organization, you have to think that
losing they did culture win at just something, permeates. Mike. They did win at something. They kept the team in Sacramento.
Summer League. No,
they
Summer kept, League, too.
Well, they kept the team in Sacramento.
They won the Summer League 2 years in a row.
Well, great. You see where that gets them. They won the two preseason games they've played, I suppose.
They're good at picking up undrafted free agents. I mean, I think what's going to be interesting about Sacramento is how do you find minutes and what do the lineups look like when you have four guys in the backcourt who are all going to want to play a lot of minutes and maybe deserve to play a lot of minutes. Who knows? How are you going to divide up time and put together lineups where Fox, Halliburton, Mitchell, and Buddy Hield, you can find space for all those guys to play? You have to play really small. And I think they're going to probably play a lot of three-guard lineups, and maybe you just get up and down the floor and try to run and outscore people. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? And if Mitchell's better than we think offensively, it seemed like from Summer League and from what reports are that he's going to be a really, really good defensive player. And Halliburton, everybody around the league loves that guy. I think Fox, people are still kind of debating what he can be and what his ceiling is. But there's no question he's a quality NBA player that a lot of teams would like to have. So I think Sacramento is better than the Rockets and Thunder. But just because of their history, I don't think you can have much faith that they're going to do anything. So therefore, that's why I had them 13th. But all right. Above the Rockets and Thunder.
All right. Okay. Number 12. I have the Timberwolves.
Number 12, I have the Timberwolves.
Oh, my God. What is going on? All right. I could probably be convinced that this team isn't in the trash tier. Anthony Edwards showed a lot last year. They showed a lot of improvement throughout the season. Theoretically, if things go right, they could make the play-in game. But I just... Timberwolves, they're kind of like in the same boat as the Kings. Like, they haven't done anything in so many years. They haven't proven anything to me. I'm just not a believer that they're going to be that good this year. And listen, and I like Anthony Edwards. I like his attitude. I like the way he carries himself. But I just don't have faith in that team.
100% fair. And I think, again, this roster is better than the Rockets and Thunder's roster. They have more guys who have at least proven themselves functionally in the NBA than those two teams. When you look up and down the roster and you see Patrick Beverley, you see what Anthony Edwards did last year. We can all nitpick what Karl Anthony Towns does and doesn't do, but the fact remains that he's probably, as far as a big man, one of the best scoring big men ever, and certainly in the game today in terms of the different ways that he can score in the post and shoot threes and all the things that he does. I'm not sure that he's a leader. I'm not sure that he's your number one guy on a championship team or even maybe a good playoff team based on what we've seen in his career to this point. But they do have viable, good NBA players. And if Edwards continues to get better, we know how much talent the guy has. And if he keeps working at it and he gets better, proves on the defensive end of the floor, becomes a better decision maker, a better playmaker, D'Angelo Russell, I think at this point, he is what he is. He's never going to become a great defensive player, but he's still a functional NBA player where if this team can come together, it comes down to Towns, right? Towns has to drive winning with this Timberwolves roster. He has to commit himself to the defensive end of the floor and become the leader, not only on the offensive end, but on the defensive end of the floor. And if he does that and he can drag some of these other guys along with him, then maybe there's a path for Minnesota to get up into the play-in. Just like you, I don't count on it because of the culture. I will say that the coaching change that they made midseason last year with Chris Finch, bringing him in, a guy who had a good reputation, a guy who seemingly towards the end of last season had this team trending in the right direction. So if he ends up to be the type of coach that it appeared he was at the end of last year and that people around the league seem to think that he can be, then maybe that brings out the best in this roster and they have an opportunity to compete for one of those last play-in spots. I'm not ruling it out. Again, I have them in this tier of they could, but they got to prove it because they just haven't had a winning culture for the last 15 or 20 years. It's been a long time since winning basketball has been played in Minnesota. So I think Sacramento and Minnesota, I have them in this tier of prove it to me that you can compete for the play-in. And then I have one more team in this tier, which we'll see if our next team, which would be number what, 12?
11.
So number Spurs. 11. We'll see if Spurs is my other team. So in my tier.
We're at Mike. The top six is going to be interesting, I think.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to agree up there. Hopefully not. But anyway, I think the Spurs, I have them in this tier for a different reason. Obviously, the Wolves and Kings haven't won in a long time. The Spurs have been one of the most successful franchises in the history of the sport. And although in the last year or two, things have started to sort of crumble. And when Kawhi left, they weren't able to replace him with another generational superstar. So they're kind of a roster of pieces parts. And I'm not sure what those pieces parts really add up to. I think if you look at, I think I'd rather have the Kings roster and the Wolves roster. What do you think? Spurs roster.
I would probably rather have the Wolves roster. We could argue about the Kings roster probably. But I could buy the Wolves roster. I mean, but you also don't have Pop and you don't have the culture. And that's the difference, in my opinion.
Right. That's why I think the rosters of the Wolves and Kings, in my opinion, are better than the Spurs roster. I think they have more higher upside players on those two teams than the Spurs do. But I think Pop and the organization is what led me to keep the Spurs in the tier with Sacramento and the Timberwolves rather than putting them down with the Rockets and the Thunder, which are more young teams. This team's a little bit older, has some different pieces, but I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. They're certainly at best, this team is mediocre. I think their ceiling is lower than the Wolves and Kings. Maybe their floor is higher. Maybe the Wolves and Kings are more variable in what they could do. But I think the Spurs, I guess if things go well, they could fight for that play-in spot, which is where I have them. But I think that they're you're basing that on Pop's ability to get the most out of this roster, which isn't the wrong way to look at it.
Yeah. I just think, like, once again, I'm not going to sit here and doubt Pop's ability. This team is not a star-studded thing. I mean, who's their best player, Mike? Is it Murray?
It's either DeJounte Murray or maybe Keldon Johnson.
Keldon Johnson. I mean, Zach Collins hasn't even been healthy.
If either one of those guys is your best player, your ceiling is not that high.
Would you rather have the Cavs roster than the Spurs roster?
Yes, you would definitely rather have the Cavs roster. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Okay. Just check.
I think I'd rather have the Cavs roster than any team we've mentioned so far.
I agree.
Are you tired of slipping and sliding on the court and sticky sheets just aren't giving you grip? Grip Spritz solves this problem without having to lick your hand to clean your shoes. Grip Spritz is used by countless AAU, high school and college programs, semi-pro teams, as well as NCAA athletes and G League players. Unlike other products, Grip Spritz has solutions for individual players, not just entire teams. We've used Grip Spritz at our Head Start basketball camps and players love it. To keep you and your team from slipping and sliding, visit gripspritz.net to learn more.
All right. Number 10. This is where I think we're going to differ, Mike.
Okay.
I put the Pelicans at 10.
I have the Grizzlies at 10. So I have the Grizzlies and Pelicans in my next tier, which is should be teams that are in the play-in, should be teams that give themselves an opportunity. The Pelicans and the Grizzlies with Ja Morant and the Pelicans with Zion Williamson once he gets back from his broken foot.
But that's why I put him below. He's not healthy again. He had to have surgery again. How many games is he going to miss this year because he's unhealthy? I can't.
Look, it's fair. It's fair. It's completely fair. I think at this point you have to factor in, is Zion going to be healthy? I mean, I think that's a question we're going to ask every season for the rest of his career.
Every episode of this podcast, we're going to ask that question.
what is Zion's health status? Look, these two teams to me are both teams that are relatively young, that have some nice pieces around their cornerstone piece. So you think about the Pelicans and they have Zion, but then they also have some other young guys. When you have Brandon Ingram and you got Nikhil Alexander Walker and you've got Jackson Hayes and you've got Josh Hart. And so you got these other pieces. You got Kira Lewis, who has sort of shown that maybe he could be a point guard of the future. They got the guy they drafted, Trey Murphy, out of Virginia. I think those are guys that you put Zion out there and he makes those guys better. And I think it's a decent roster around him. And I think on the Grizzlies side of it, with Ja Morant, you got the same thing with Jaren Jackson Jr. And they have more pieces around their stars that I think fit and make sense. Dylan Brooks plays super hard, and he's a guy that any team would want to have him as a part of what they're doing. So I think that Memphis and the Pelicans, obviously their success depends on their two stars, right? How Ja Morant goes and how Zion goes over the next 3, 4, 5 years is going to determine what the trajectory is for these franchises. And that's why I kind of roped them together. I don't think they're as good as the next 8 teams in the West, but I do think that they're both better than the teams that we've mentioned to this point. And Memphis has proven it. The Pelicans really haven't to this point, but I think Zion is so good when he's healthy that it's hard to believe that if he plays 85% of the games or 80% of the games, which who knows if he will, but if he does, it's hard to believe that they're not going to fall into that play-in category. And it seems like Stan Van Gundy didn't necessarily do a good job last year.
What? So
maybe with some improvement in the coaching from Willie Green and continued, cross your fingers, good health for Zion, that this team is able to make a leap where maybe people don't expect. I still don't think they're going to get up beyond spot 9, but who knows? Who knows? If Zion's healthy, I think there's a high ceiling if Zion's healthy, but I still don't think they're as good as these other teams above them in the West.
Yeah, I'm not buying it, Mike. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm not buying it. I think the Grizzlies are better because their star is available and what Williamson's not. And I mean, have they said apologize.
What his timetable is?
Yeah.
I mean, they're still saying he's gonna be ready for the start of the regular season. Now what that means is, is he gonna come back and be able to practice? Is he gonna play in a preseason game? Doesn't seem like it. My guess is he misses the first couple regular season games and they got him practicing and doing things and trying to get him ready. But that's what I've heard, is that he's going to be back for the beginning of the regular season, whether that means he plays on opening night or whether that means that he's back practicing full go at that point and they have him sit out a couple games and then gets going. I don't know. Missing training camp can't be good for him. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I just don't have faith in him staying healthy, Mike.
That's fair.
So that's why I have him there. All right. So that gets us to number 7 then, Mike, right? Or number 8.
Number 8.
I have the Clippers at number 8.
All right, I have the Blazers at number 8.
Do you have the Clippers at 7?
Yes.
Okay, we have those flip-flops. Here's what I'm going to say. You don't have your best player, Paul George. Who knows what Paul George is going to show up. The Clippers are, in my opinion, an enigma that you can't figure out. And I just kind of said Dame Lillard is better than Paul George. CJ McCollum's better, probably the second, like after Paul. I would say Paul George is better than CJ McCollum, probably. But after that, is there a Clipper you'd rather have over CJ McCollum?
Marcus Morris.
All right, I know you're joking about that. So I think I would kind of go. That's kind of my my thought is, I went with the Blazers over, and you know. I know the whole Billups thing is going to be interesting to see how is that going to affect things, but I just think I trust Dame more than I trust Paul George. So
that's fair. Neither these two teams I think are both pretenders, which is why I have them in this group of teams that some people think are true contenders for the NBA title, but I don't think either one of these teams has a realistic path to getting to the NBA Finals. Clippers, no way they can do it without Kawhi. I would say based on his injury history and based on everything that he's done in the past, that the likelihood of him coming back and playing in the playoffs or coming back for the last couple weeks of the regular season and playing seemed pretty unlikely. And without Kawhi, this team is not going to win an NBA title. But that being said, they do have a team that was able to finish off Utah, which was the number one seed in the NBA last year in the Western Conference. And they won that series, closed out the last two games without Kawhi. And then they played well in the next series. So I think this team is good enough to be, and they're going to probably be, we have them slotted to play in the play-in. I don't have them in the top six. But I could see them competing to get into that top six. It's not completely out of the question that they could slip into the sixth seed. But I think they're a little bit better than the Clippers, a little bit better than the Blazers, because I think they're a little bit better defensively than the Blazers. I just think the Blazers are pretty shallow. Their depth is a struggle. I think their starting lineup is pretty good. And when it played, I know they had a pretty good plus-minus that was one of the best in the league in terms of teams, five-man units that played a lot together. But when you start looking at their bench, I don't know. I'm not a big believer in some of the guys they have on the bench that, Nasir Little, is he ready? Ben McLemore, how much difference does he make? Patrick Patterson, Anthony Simons, Dennis Smith Jr., Tony Snell, Cody Zeller. I don't know. I just don't think that their bench, when you start talking about matching up with some of the better teams in the West, I just don't think this team's bench is going to be able to do as much. So I like the Clippers a little bit better than the Blazers, but 7-8, flip them however you want.
Okay. Fair points. All fair points. All right. So we've been really, really close, Mike. Right around where we've had teams all in the same spots. Now it's going to start to get murky, I think. What do you think?
All right. I don't know. We'll see. I still have two more teams in this tier of pretend contenders that I don't think really have a legitimate chance to get out of the Western Conference.
Number 6, I have the Warriors.
I have the Warriors.
Oh, my. I think
the Warriors, I had the hardest time, I think, with this team. I could have easily bumped them down further and lumped them in with the Pelicans and Grizzlies. I think expecting Klay Thompson to come back from a torn Achilles and a torn ACL and be anything near approximating what he was before. Now, maybe he's still going to be able to shoot the ball, but his ability to move on offense without the ball and certainly his ability to defend, I think he's got to be compromised in those two areas. Plus just the mental part of it, trying to get over those two injuries and trust your body again. And he's not going to come back till Christmas, January, whatever, whenever it ends up being. I think this team's relying a lot on either older guys or sort of that rookie second year contingent with Wiseman and Kuminga and Moses Moody. I don't know. I don't see it. Look, Steph's great, but the people who are saying that this team can contend for an NBA championship if Klay comes back and is 100% spot on, I don't see it. Draymond's past his prime. He's no longer really a threat offensively to score. I mean, he's still a good passer. His defense is still, well, he's still one of the better defensive players in the NBA, but he's not at the level that he was 3-4 years ago. I don't know. I just think this team, they're going to make the playoffs because Steph is so brilliant, but I just don't see a path for them to legitimately contend for a Western Conference championship. There's no way they can win three rounds in the West with that roster they have.
I think there's a way. I don't think it's likely, but I think there's a way. Like, Steph gets hot, someone on the other team gets injured, you know, or Steph's team gets hot. Steph, they win the series early, the other games go seven games, and they get to round three, and then, you just get in a series, and you never know what's going to happen sometimes, but I understand your point too, Mike. I do.
I don't know. I think the roster is very similar to what it was last year. Otto Porter, you want to put your eggs in the Otto Porter basket that he's going to come through and carry you. I don't know. The roster to me looks exactly the same as it did last year. And as a result of that, I just don't think – I don't know. I just don't see them advancing beyond sort of – I mean, I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they'll – probably be right there on the cusp of maybe they're in the play-in, maybe they're the sixth seed, but I don't think they can legitimately. I just don't see a path where they can win three series against the kind of teams they're going to have to beat in the playoffs. I just don't see
That's fair. That's fair. All right, number five, I have the Dallas Mavericks.
I have the Utah Jazz.
Oh, whoa!
So I've been up on the Jazz.
For years. I know what you're doing here. I know exactly what you're doing here, Mike.
And I've been down on the Jazz. So the Jazz are my last team that are in the pretend contenders. And wow. It should seem like they should be real contenders after having been the number one seed last season. And I think they'll probably have another good regular season. But at this point, just like we talked about at the back end of the West, until I see it, I just don't buy that this team is going to suddenly put it all together and figure it out. I don't think that they're this year's Milwaukee Bucks, where they had a couple of great regular seasons, flamed out in the playoffs, and then suddenly they figure it out and put it together. Donovan Mitchell's really, really good. I don't think he's as good as Giannis. I don't think he can carry a team the way Giannis did offensively. Gobert is what he is. There's challenges with him in the playoffs and being able to match up and switching and all the things that people have talked about for years with him in the playoffs. So I think Utah probably has a good regular season. They probably will finish the regular season maybe above some of the teams that I have ranked above them. They might have a better regular season record, but as far as their chances of making it to the NBA Finals, I think they're in this pretend contender category.
I'm really surprised, Mike. So my number five team is Dallas, and I can argue that Luka could have an MVP kind of season, but I just don't know if the roster around him, they've got a new coach with it being Jason Kidd as well. You never know what's going to happen. He might try to spill water on the floor during the timeout.
He's like, definitely a wild card. He's the biggest wild card for the Mavericks.
Well, I know. I think Kristaps Porzingis is the biggest wild card, but I think Jason Kidd's close behind it, because if it's the Porzingis that showed up in parts of the regular season last year, then I'll buy in. But if it's the guy who gets injured all the time, or the guy who showed up in the playoffs last year, that's the bigger problem.
I don't think you can ever count on top level New York Porzingis showing up again. I think that guy is gone. So, or so, maybe he shows up for 10 games. So, but I think hanging your hat on Porzingis returning to his New York Knicks pre-injury form.
So, Mike, then my question is, how is Utah not ahead of them?
It's just, I mean, Luka, right?
What, Mike, how many playoff series has Luka won?
He's won zero playoff series, so let me give you the argument. The last 2 years, they've lost to the Clippers, right?
Yeah.
So, theoretically, the Clippers have probably two of the best, Paul George and Kawhi. How many other wing defenders?
Did Kawhi play last season when they played him?
Yes.
Wasn't he injured, Mike?
No, he got injured against Utah.
Oh, okay.
He played that whole series against Dallas.
Okay.
So you have probably two of the best, I don't know, three, five, whatever number you want to throw out there, guys to throw at Luka, and he still averaged whatever 30 some. I guess my point is it's one of the worst matchups that Dallas could have had. And I think, is Luka going to be better this season than he was last season? You would have to think so. At age 22, he's going to continue to grow and get better and improve. And I just think that, to me, this is just a bet on Luka that I don't know that they're going to, but I think they have a more realistic chance of making the NBA Finals than the four teams we just mentioned before, because Luka just gives you a higher ceiling that if he gets to a certain level, he's going to carry a roster that maybe isn't as good as some of those other rosters, but he is just so much better as the focal point star. He just does things. Look, there's nobody else in the league other than LeBron who does the things that Luka does. I guess maybe you could argue Harden is also in that category, but I would argue against that when it comes to playoff basketball. So to me, if you look at the trajectory and the arc of LeBron's career as a guy who was able to carry inferior rosters a lot farther than you thought he could, Luka's under 22 NBA seasons and the fact that he's, what, now two-time first-team All-NBA player, I just think the history of those guys says that those type of players are capable of carrying a roster that you might not think is able to get to the finals because they're so good and because they make the game so much easier for those other guys, that's why I put Dallas in this true contender category of a team that can get to the NBA champion or get to the NBA finals. I don't know if they can win a championship because I think Brooklyn and Milwaukee are better than any of these teams in the West this year.
Yeah, I disagree with you, but I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I just don't think there's any way that the Jazz should be ranked lower than the Mavericks. And
Do you think the Jazz can get to the NBA Finals?
I do.
All right. That's fair.
I do. I think.
I mean, if you really think that, I disagree. But if you think that they can and you think Dallas can't,
I have the Jazz at number three.
Okay.
So, all right.
I have the Mavs at number two.
Okay. So okay. I have the Mavs at five. I have the Nuggets at four.
I have the Nuggets at four.
I have the Jazz at three. I have the Suns at two. And I have the Lakers at one.
I have the Lakers one, Mavs two, Suns three, Nuggets four. Those are my four teams that I think have a legitimate chance to make it to the NBA Finals.
I understand the argument for Luka, but I love Luka. I want to be clear here. I think he's great. I just don't think – I think if they make it to the finals, it's going to be like the 2007 Cavs showing up against the Spurs. And I just don't see – I don't know that he's ready.
That could very well happen. That could very well happen. You look at this Western Conference and – I'm going to go back and repeat a theme that we talked about throughout the playoffs last spring / summer, that which of these teams do you trust to come through and meet their ceiling when the playoffs come around? Whether it's because you don't trust the health of some of their older players, whether it's you don't trust some of the young guys that have to develop and play to the best of their ability, whether you don't trust their coach. To me, there's no overwhelming favorite. I know you have the Lakers one and I have the Lakers one, but do you feel confident? Like, what odds do you put of the Lakers being the Western Conference representative for the NBA Finals?
Probably 35%.
Ooh, I'd put it lower than that. Like, I'd be around maybe 20%, 15, 20%. I mean, I just, there's a lot that has to go right for the Lakers. I'd like, do you think the Russ thing is going to work?
Based on what I'm watching tonight, no. But
I don't think it's going to work. I don't think, when I say it's not going to work, I guess in my mind, what I'm saying is that it's not going to maximize what LeBron, AD, and Russ, the ideal, what that looks like in an ideal utopian world and what we're actually going to see, I don't think are going to match up. I mean, ideally, you'd like to have Russ playing off the ball, cutting to the basket, being the secondary playmaker when LeBron's on the floor and taking over the offense when LeBron is off the floor, especially in the regular season. But I don't know. Russ hasn't shown any propensity to defer, to move without the ball. And when you haven't done it your entire career, it's kind of hard to flip that switch. I think at this point, you are what you are. I don't trust AD to be healthy. LeBron, as much of an Iron Man as he's been, two of his last three seasons have ended with him being injured in some way, shape, or form. So you have to really count on A, that team being healthy, and B, those guys clicking. And I don't see it. That being said, I think that LeBron and AD and Russ give them the highest ceiling. The Mavericks, we already talked about it. What's Jason Kidd? What's their roster? The rest of their roster? The Suns are actually probably the safest choice in that their four young guys are all should get better, right? Booker should continue to get better. Ayton should be better.
Chris Paul should get better.
Mikal Bridges should
be
better.
He's a young guy, right?
Yeah, and Cam Johnson should be better. Chris Paul basically stayed healthy through the whole season and through the playoffs. Maybe he got nicked up and dinged up a little bit in the finals, but he was healthier than he'd been for the last couple previous seasons. Is that going to happen again? I don't know. I think the Suns are probably, like I said, the safest choice. The Nuggets, they're without their second best player. Do you think Michael Porter Jr. is going to take a leap and suddenly he's going to be averaging 24 a game next to Jokic? I don't know. It could happen, but I'm not 100% convinced that it will. I like the Nuggets roster. I mean, I like what they have, but you're still missing your second best player. It's hard to believe that you're going to be any kind of a favorite to get to the finals. So I think the Lakers, Mavs, Suns, and Nuggets are the teams that I could seriously envision making it to the finals if things go well. I don't see the Jazz, Warriors, Clippers, or Blazers being able to win three rounds against the rest of the – I just don't see them being able to win three rounds against these teams. I don't think their best player is good enough to carry them through three rounds of the playoffs, where I think the Lakers have two guys that could probably carry them. The Mavs have Luka. The Suns, I think the combination of Booker and a healthy Chris Paul, and then the Nuggets with Jokic. I think those guys are all superstars to the point where – they could carry a team in this weakened Western Conference to the NBA Finals. I don't think Donovan Mitchell, I don't think Steph with the roster that he has around him, I don't think Paul George, and I don't think Dame are capable of carrying a team to the finals. I don't see it.
I mean, you make fair points, Mike. I'm really taken aback that you've completely abandoned the Jazz.
I could see the Jazz, honestly, I could see the Jazz having the best record in the Western Conference again. I really could. I just don't think...
Well, I apparently didn't understand the assignment, Mike. Like, I didn't realize I was saying this is the team that I think was going to win the championship this year. I was ranking them based on where I thought they were going to be when we got to season's end. But that's kind of where my headspace was. I thought the Lakers were going to have the best record. But, I mean... I guess.
Couldn't you see all these teams? Like, is there a 60-win team here?
No.
No, absolutely not.
I think there's between 56, somewhere around 56 wins for a majority of these teams.
It's going to be close.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
I could see the number one seed in the West being 50-32 or 52-30, and then I could see the eighth seed being 45-39, right? Or 45-37, somewhere in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there's not a whole lot.
Good math, Mike. There you go.
I'm trying to do it in my head quick. I don't think that there's a juggernaut team. I think both Brooklyn and Milwaukee are far better bets to win the title than any of these teams from the West. They just are.
Those are fair points. I'm just really surprised by this complete abandonment of the Jazz.
What have they done to prove that they can make it through the Western Conference playoffs? They haven't done anything. They haven't showed anything that would lead you to believe that they're going to be able to. Now you could argue that they haven't been healthy the last couple of years, and if they're healthy, maybe it's a different story. But you could say that about every team. Eventually, you have to figure out a way to get it done, and I just don't think.
This is the same argument I made all year last year about Milwaukee, and you argued with me about the Milwaukee argument all year last year. They've not proven anything.
Right. What was my mantra throughout the entire playoffs with every single team? I said, I don't trust any of these teams. And I didn't trust Milwaukee, right? Because of all the reasons that we said, I'm saying that I don't think that this team has a Milwaukee style run to the NBA championship. They had Giannis, who was a two-time MVP. Say what you want about Giannis. And we said a lot about the things that were his deficiencies going into last year's playoffs, right? He doesn't have a go-to move. What do you do with him in the half court? But that being said, he still was a two-time MVP. Donovan Mitchell is a really good player. He's not a two-time MVP. And he's also a 6'2 guard versus Giannis is a 7-foot athletic freak. I don't think Donovan Mitchell can carry a team the same way that Giannis can carry a team. And this is before, I would have said this before the playoffs. I would still have more faith in Giannis being able to impact a team and carry a team more than Donovan Mitchell. I just think that Utah has, they have a definitive ceiling. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised. They could very well be the number one seed again. I just don't see them getting out of the Western Conference and getting to the NBA Finals. I don't think they have that in them.
Okay. Those fair points. Fair points, Mike. To kind of wrap up my picks, I just think the Lakers are clearly, like, if they're healthy, they're theoretically like the strongest team. I mean, you got LeBron and AD on the team. You pretty much could have me on the team and they might be considered the strongest team. Not to mention the fact that they do have Russell Westbrook, and though that will be interesting to see how it works out, you know, the theoretic Russell Westbrook with this team should be good. Throw in, I've been a big Carmelo stan, even if he can just be serviceable out there. I mean, he was good last year, so even if he could bring 80% of what he brought last year to the table for the Lakers, that would be good, really good. I mean, obviously, I don't think Dwight Howard does anything but is act like a clown the whole time. But I think the Lakers have a legitimate shot to win this year. Do I think they're better than the Nets or the Bucks? No, I don't. That being said, though, I think if they were healthy, they probably are the champions last year, right, Mike?
Maybe. I think
we can say the same thing for the Nets, though, too. Like, if they're healthy.
Correct. I think that you're getting to a point now where it's almost like every single thing that you predict has to be prefaced by if they're healthy. And We just don't, obviously, that's something that we can't know, we can't predict. And it's on, so I guess all you can do is go by what you see on paper. I think the thing with the Nets and the Bucks is you kind of understand what they are, who they are, what they're going to look like. Whereas with the Lakers, once you get beyond LeBron and AD, we don't have any idea how Russ fits and what that's going to look like. And then who knows who's going to fill out those other spots in the rotation when push comes to shove. I mean, I have no idea. Ariza's injured right now. Is Carmelo going to be part of the playoff rotation? Is Bazemore going to start? Are they going to start Ellington because they want shooting, but then he doesn't bring as much on the defensive end of the floor? Is Talen Horton-Tucker ready to play major minutes? Who knows? Which of Dwight Howard or DeAndre Jordan are they going to play in those backup center physical minutes that they want when they don't want AD playing at the five? There's just a lot of question marks with this team. And Father Time's still undefeated. And I know LeBron's fought him off, and he's probably going to fight him off again this year. But you got to think that he's going to continue year.
Even
if he loses a percent or two, that still makes a difference when push comes to shove. So, look, I'm not putting anything past LeBron. What he's done to this point in his career has been incredible. And if he comes out and has an MVP-type season, I won't be stunned in any way, shape, or form. But reality says that at some point, it's gonna start to go at least a little bit. And that little bit could be the difference between winning and losing. So,
all right.
Agree. Lakers are at the top of the West. I think certainly they're the team to beat in the Western Conference.
It's time, Mike, for our Browns minute.
All right. So, do you want to go first? You want me to give you my take on it?
Here's my take is I'm frustrated by the play calling in the fourth quarter. It was a little too conservative, but at the same time, that defensive pass interference that that defensive pass interference doesn't get called, we don't lose that game. They don't. I mean, there's just no way around it. They don't lose the game because we would have the ball. We would have probably scored because we were going to score. We would have had the ball from like the 50. Worst case scenario is they go three and out and they punt it to like the 5 yard line. You know, our punter probably would have kicked it in the end zone. But regardless, I think the play calling, the fact that anyone wants to blame our defense, like my dad was yelling at the defense. I'm like, Dad, like literally they have a guy who has never played corner before playing corner right now. We can't blame them. Like,
yeah, the defense had so many guys hurt. And let's face it, the Chargers are good. Herbert is good. Yeah. And the fact that they shredded us, they're going to shred a lot of defenses. And our defense was completely decimated by injury. So it's hard to blame the defense for the loss. I do think that the pass interference call was bogus. On the offensive side of the ball, Baker played much better this week than he did last week. I still think, though, you get the ball back twice with under whatever 3.5-4 minutes to go, and you can't move the ball at all. I just don't think that really good quarterbacks, get a couple first downs and put that game away in that situation. And you could say what you want. You could blame it on his receivers aren't good or whatever it might be, but it's still, you can call the play calling. Good quarterbacks figure out a way to get that done. I just look at what Lamar Jackson was able to do with the Ravens against the Colts. And I know the Colts aren't nearly as good as the Chargers, but when we first started this discussion about where Baker Mayfield was in the ranking of quarterbacks, and I told you I'd much rather have Lamar Jackson than Baker Mayfield. And I just think Lamar Jackson found a way to get it done. And Baker Mayfield has had two opportunities this year with the ball at the end of games to put games away or to come back and try to score, and hasn't done it. And so just like we talked about with the NBA, that some people you have to prove it until he's able to do it in a big moment and get it done. I'm just not convinced. That being said, when are we trading Odell, or when are we releasing Odell? How soon does that happen? What could they get for Odell at this point? Could you get a fifth round pick for him?
I think you could get a third or a fourth round pick for him.
What has he done since he's been here, honestly?
Oh, I don't know, but I think you could get a third round pick for him. That's all you're going to get is a third round pick. But I think you could get a third round pick for him.
I mean, unless Baker's worse than we think, what I remember most about Odell being here with the Browns is him dropping critical third down passes that are wide open right into his hands. That's what I remember about his tenure here with the Browns.
How about the fourth down pass he dropped
this week? That's what I'm saying. Those are the plays that I remember. And I don't remember any big play that he's made since he's been here. So to me, he's not a number one receiver. Like when I see a number one receiver, it's a guy who's 6'3", long arms, 225 pounds. And I look at Odell and I'm like, who's afraid of this guy? Like physically, he's not physically imposing. I don't see him as having this blazing speed. I've seen him drop too many wide open passes to say he has great hands. I just don't know what he is. And I think that from a chemistry standpoint, it seems like when he's in the game, they try to force feed him the ball to keep him happy. And that throws the offense off kilter to me.
See, I didn't feel like they did that this week though.
This week was not that bad. I agree. It was not the same, but I do feel like that's what happens sometimes. And to me, it would be addition by subtraction to just tell him goodbye. I mean, I'd be fine if they just released him, to be honest.
Well, they're not going to do that.
I know they're not. I know he probably has some value, but his value is very limited at this point. So who knows? They got another tough game this week. So it's going to be tough to, if their defense isn't a little bit healthier, I think they're going to have a hard time trying to contain Kyler Murray.
Arizona's best pass rushers in COVID protocol. I'm sure you didn't see that, but
I did not see that.
Yeah, so you know they're going to be in a bad situation too. So because their defense hasn't been outstanding either. But anyways, we'll see what happens. There's your weekly Brown Minute brought to you by Mike and Jason's uninformed opinions.
Moderately informed NFL opinions, right?
Yeah. So anything else, Mike, before we wrap tonight?
That is it. I think we covered that. Next week, we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the individual awards.
Yeah, we'll be able to talk about that first game because the first games are a week from today. So,
and we'll talk about some playoff stuff and kind of figure out how we think that the playoffs are going to break out and actually pick our NBA champions heading into the season and figure all that stuff out. So it is almost basketball time, and I'm excited to actually be able to talk about some games and see what we have going on. And this should be a very interesting season. I think the West is as wide open as it's ever been. And I think the East is going to be fun to see Brooklyn and Milwaukee kind of go toe-to-toe all year. I would expect that those two teams are going to distance themselves from certainly the rest of the pack in the Eastern Conference. And I would think that both of those teams, if they don't spend a lot of time resting and load managing, that they're going to finish with the two best records in the league. I would be very, very surprised if that's not the case. So anyway.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it next week and we can discuss what we think is going to happen.
Perfect. All right. Sounds good. Thanks to everyone for checking out this NBA edition of the Hoopheads Pod. Make sure you listen to our two weekly interview shows. This week we had Dan Priest, the head coach at Kenyon College here in the state of Ohio. On Monday, coming up Friday, we will have our roundtable episode for this month. So be sure to check that one out. We've got an interview coming up with Ohio State coach Chris Holtmann that will air probably next week sometime. So please make sure you check that out. Looking forward to that one. And we appreciate you listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.